meeting and started over to see a gentleman friend of ours, Mrs. Oberlin, over in Edmonton, Alberta. And we just 20 miles of the Canadian line when we got the news that my brother was dying. So we turned right around through a snowstorm and started right back home, making it for 11 days and traveling. We got in late last evening and up late last night and early again this morning, so very tired. But as soon as I got it to my mother, after we got a place where we could call in again, she said, "Brother Neville has been out there." That's a real pastor, folks. That's something we should appreciate that. I might not, maybe your loved ones have never come to that spot. Maybe, but in an hour of crisis, when you know that something is taking place, and notice a friend was sit by and run out to my brother. And then when I went, as soon as I got in his king's clothes and stuck out there, who did I find in the room in prayer? For Brother Neville. Out in the room there with Howard in prayer. I'm grateful for that. I'd rather say it right here at the platform. Well, always said, I'd rather give you a little rosebud now than a whole wreath after you're gone. Right now is the time to do it. And I appreciate Brother Neville. I know we all do around this church for being a gallant pastor. Just to show him how much you appreciate, raise your hands like this to God. That's, thank you. That's really something that I went home and I told my wife, I said, "Honey, when I went and knocked at the door, slid down the hall, read the chart, see really what was wrong, and went out there, and I heard something in there, and I cracked the door, thought it was someone talking. He hadn't sat up in the bed with his Bible, which he pulled up with her head down, praying to God when I went in, put me up in the storm, open in prayer. And also my prayer, tell God that I appreciate a real friend and a real pastor. And may Brother Neville long live in this world to serve the Lord. And I believe God's keeping here for many, many years to serve him. Someone that got it. It struck my heart deeper than anything I've had in a long time. Now, usually I would have Sunday school classes and dismissed yet back in the children. Perhaps maybe we'll pray for the sick. I didn't make any announcement of coming in praying for the sick, but if there's any here to be prayed for, then we'll just have prayer for them. Now, if Sister Gertie, if she will come up, play the great position for us, and we'll ask our dear Heavenly Father if he will bless those who are needy of him with today. Then we want you, all the kitchen, and you just gather up around the altar. I'm not mistaken, is this Nellie Sanders coming here? God bless you, Nellie. 25 years ago, God bless you. I looked over a while ago and looked at you, and I didn't want this thing. Look, gazing at someone, I kept looking back, and I thought it looked like Nellie. None of you here probably remember. I guess somebody, I may remember Nellie Sanders, quite certainly. And she was one of the first comers to the tabernacle, being my departed wife or bosom friends and sisters in Christ. And she married over here one of the volunteers in America, an officer in this move, and he, our brother, has gone on to be with God, leaving her, I think, with two boys, I'm saying, and children anyhow, and the mother's still in school, and Nellie's wandering by herself, and just coming into the age of real nervous and upset. She called me when I was in Phoenix, Arizona, in a meeting for prayer. Many things go back, Nellie, to the time when the sawdust on the floor, and you and Hope, that ad hoc girl, and Larry used to be around here many years ago, 25 years ago. He's passing by me. We're going down the road swiftly, that's the truth.
Amen.
Well, God be with you now. Those who are sick, you want to come up around the altar for prayer. Our pastor and I have joined together in a word of prayer for you. Come right ahead. Now, look, I need to ask just a short message just to you. Other preaching service, which you could say we're dismissing Sunday school service after the prayer for the sick. And we're going right into the other service. I got a couple announcements to make. this great position now is near. The sympathizing Jesus, he seeks the drooping heart to cheer, no other name but Jesus. Now we just enter in now to a fellowship of this prayer, healing for each other, knowing that God is here and promised to answer. Yes, that's all right. We'll go down and pray for her. The lady's sitting down. All right, Brother Neville, would you come help me? Now, if you'll be just reverent as possible, the little fellows are taking their seats, and let's pray now so that when we go down to the point, the sick and the afflicted, we're going to have faith in God to be healed. Have faith that God will. All of you out there in the audience as well this morning don't need to come around the altar. Just think now that it was God's grace that brought you here. How you pray for these others that are at the altar here, young and old. Has there custody at the tabernacle? We send the pastor anointing, we pray for them, and then send the pastor anointing. I come along with him laying hands on the sick while he anoints them. The scripture. Anoint the sick and all, in the name of the Lord. Lay hands on them, they shall recover. The scripture. Now, all of you together, if you bow your heads now while we offer prayer together for the sick. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come into thy divine presence just now in the way for the needy, the sick. Those who cannot help themselves, and many of them, Father, are past doctor's age. Nothing can be done except by grace be extended to them. I pray humbly today, God, with all my heart, yes, joining with this little church,
yes,
that the great Holy Spirit,
oh,
that present now, very by the word of the Lord Jesus, that says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. If they ask anything, as pertaining to any certain thing, I receive at your eternal word, Lord, that was spoken even before the foundation of the world.
It's
been given to us by the prophet, by the Son of God himself. Now, our deep desire now, Father, is for you to heal the sick, the needy, that's there around the audience. I pray that you just give each one a special blessing of faith just now, that as we go, your servant and myself, to anoint and lay hands upon the people, may your Holy Spirit just deep down the faith in the heart,
amen,
may each one be healed. We ask in Christ's name for his sake. Now with your head bowed, everybody in prayer, Pastor and I go to pray. Moment. Those who have to go now, let's just stand while we sing a hymn. And those Take the name of Jesus with you. Those who have to go can be dismissed. Those who can stay for another 30 minutes, we'll be glad for you to stay. All right.
Here at 47 years old, I'll be ashamed of myself. But just and just the human part again.
But oh, how valuable it is, and how wonderful, nothing like being saved.
Amen.
To be saved. That you don't realize, friend, I'm sure that the devil keeps that away from you as much as he can just for me to realize what the value of a soul is. Did you ever just imagine what it is and what eternity means? How long you're going to be that way? Realize this is the time when you make your decision for eternity.
Amen.
Last Sunday week, you and your upbeat up preached on the assurance of how God had promised and ordained you and called you before the foundation of the world and put your name in His book.
Amen.
You had nothing to do with it. God did it. Isn't that wonderful? The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And why? It never happened until 4,000 years later. But God, when He spoke it, He had to do it. Because He had to keep His word. In the same time that the Lamb was low down, you were roped with Him.
Amen.
Our names were written in the Lamb's book of life, not the night we come to Christ, but before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So that's the assurance. And Brother touched on that this morning in this marvelous Sunday school reading. Now, let's just read for a scripture somewhere, just for a little, I want, just something that's on my heart. I'd just like to speak it for a few moments, and then we'll dismiss. And expect the services again tonight. And now, I got a message on my heart coming down the other day, and I want, if God willing, if I'm back here next Sunday morning, to bring it to the tabernacle for the first. Just something that's on my heart of the time I went into a place to eat. And I thought, well, am I going crazy? What's the matter with me? I can't stand this music. All this your stuff that you have today. These silly women singing down out of ivory palace and all this. I said, it must be something wrong with me. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, no. Oh, no. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in that. So I thought, well, I don't want to get adjusted then to this world. And then the Holy Spirit began to reveal this message to me. I wouldn't have time this morning. I'm too tired. Besides, maybe the Lord willing, next Sunday morning, if we're still around, I got some trips to make this week, but if I'm still around next Sunday morning, God willing, Brother Neville announced on his broadcast on Saturday, and we'll be in trying to bring this message. And I want to try to bring it somewhere. It's a gospel message of the day, hour, and season. I had predicted 6 months ago that this was the closing year for America. And we'll see what it is according to the gospel or not. This is the time when she's gone.
Amen.
She's either going up or down this year.
Amen.
Right. Now, you young children, I want you to bring me a piece of paper and write it in the file of your Bible that when Brother Brown's done passed on for him, you see whether it was right or wrong.
And you
know whether the Lord still speaks it. Now, in Romans, the 4th chapter, I want to read just for a portion of words to continue on. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has wrought the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen.
And may the Lord add his blessing to the word. Now the little subject is to call it so, and I wish to speak to you about, is divine love. And when divine love has been projected and comes to its destination, sovereign grace takes its place.
Amen.
Can you think of that? I ponder over so we get it real close now. See? When divine love is projected, and comes to its destiny, then sovereign grace takes over.
Amen.
Now, it's a strange thing that how the people, the type of people and what we do in our association, we all have to face these facts, that there is people that you just love to be around. And there's people that find people, and you love them, but yet there's something about the person that you just can't hardly stay around. Now, we want to talk of facts. Now, the reason that is because of the atmosphere that the individual himself or herself creates. Because you are a miniature creator.
Amen.
Because you're sons and daughters of God. No matter how far you stooped in sin, you're still sons and daughters of God. Because you're fallen, degenerated in your soul and mind. But thou is your creator. And in your fallen state, you are lost, undone, creation of God, dominated by the devil. That's right. But still, you're sons and daughters of God, and not willing that anybody should perish, but all might come to repentance. And you've done everything that lays possible for the only God himself to do this, to give the opportunity to the creatures of his to accept them to be what he wants you to be, back in your right state again. And no person, now here it is in this free charge, but no person is in their right mental status until they have accepted the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's a deep word, but that's the truth. No person is mentally right until they have accepted Christ Jesus as personal Savior. That sounds sick, but it's the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. That is true. He is the one, and in your created being, now you'll be crazy to the world when you do that. Because you have to come out of the atmosphere you're in into this other atmosphere.
Amen.
When you do that, God lifts you right up from the world, and you live in a heavenly atmosphere.
Amen.
And then to the world, you're just contrary to what that is. See? And this is contrary to the world.
Amen.
See, now, what you want to do is be lifted up by Christ into an atmosphere to where you are happy, peaceful, and then in there you create a situation. And now, many times, we in churches, this may seem strange, but if you just watch it, now, this is for the church, this is for the people. The people get one another's spirit instead of getting the Holy Spirit. You go into a group of people and you watch the way that a person acts, and then find people that come into that congregation, the first thing you know, they act the same way. You take a good woman and a bad man, and he'll either become a good man or her a bad woman. And the atmosphere that you live in, you project to your associates what you are. Then what type of people ought we to be if we're Christians?
Amen.
What type of atmosphere should we live in? In a controlling, soothing, healing atmosphere we should live in. With our hearts constantly in prayer, with a deep love for every person we come in contact with. Message, if I say this to the little churches, pray for me for the world mission, that's my success in praying for the sick. If I can't get right down into the ceiling out of sickness with the person, it usually doesn't do any good. You've got to come right down to the just. And you feel it yourself. There's some time ago, an old Mexican man down on the platform. When he runs to the platform, let's say he fell down, grabbed out his rosary. I know he's not necessary. And to the interpreter, Brother Pinoza, so he raised up. He put his arms down again, going somewhere. He was blind. I looked at him, wrinkled up feet, probably never wore a pair of shoes in his life. I looked at my shoes in his city.
I'd give him a shoe. He would fly. Now let him use the water across his shoulders. Big man, weighed 200 and something, I guess. He couldn't wear him a coat. And as he was standing there in the very hand, I thought of my daddy. I thought if daddy would have lived to be about this age, he would have been about the same age as Sam did, around 65, 70 years old. And I entered into the love of that man. The way that I thought, maybe he never had a decent meal in his life. Maybe he never sat on a table in his life. And all of this, and then walking around the garden. Then something come into my heart. God being merciful. He's a man. He's a brother. Then, when that strikes, there's something in our heaven. There's a creation moved around. And it's protected to this person. In a few moments, I heard him hollering something over my shoulder, and he was hollering, I can see, I can see.
Amen.
What was it? Divine love. Sympathy has been projected by the Holy Spirit into this man. And by that, at the end of the room where he took nothing to be done, and love had taken its place, and love had met love, then sovereign grace went to earth.
Amen.
And God, through sovereign grace, restored the sight to the man. See, first you have to enter into that spot. That's what you have to do to a sinner. Many people pray for sinners. That's all right. But that's not the way to win a sinner. It's your business to win the sinner. You don't win him by praying for him. You win him by talking to him. And introducing to you Christ. That's your business. That's your duty. It's to win sinners by talking to them and protecting to them the love of God through the Word of God that wins the sinner. Someone said, I'll never go to church. I feel like that woman. I like that color. See? Because you're winning them. If you said, how will you pray for the sinner never went to contact you? There's very little can be done. But you've got to pray and then grow. That's that grow and do it. Now, the projecting of this love. Here a few days ago, I was listening to a testimony of a great plow manufacturer standing on the platform. Well, that is a businessman from around the world standing on the platform. And this plowman, he got up and said, well, I didn't know why I had to be operated on. Now, I love the man. And he's a very follower of Brother Robert, our friend. And so once, he said, when I found out that I was getting sick and having stone trouble, kidney stones, I went to eat dinner with Brother Oral. And so Brother Oral got up and said, now Brother, I see that you're in distress. So he said, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, well, praise the Lord. I just want you to say that, Brother Oral. And said, Oral, come over and put your hands on his kidneys. And said, I'll rebuke this kidney stone and to leave this man immediately. And said, when he did it, said, I got relief. And said, just a little while, come back again. Said, I went again to Brother Oral. And said, he prayed again, I got relief. But the every time he come back, it comes worse. And he said, then, the next thing I thought of, if I could go down, he said, to Brother Brown. And could stand before him, and the Holy Spirit would come to him, he would tell me then why that I didn't get healed and that they were afraid for me. So he made his way out and come to Louisiana. I was in service with that. And I stood before him for 20 minutes. The Holy Spirit refused, didn't say a thing. I prayed for him. And he said he felt better. And he come on down, and he went getting nervous, excited. He went from place to place. Everybody prayed for him, prayed for him. And he loved the Lord. But finally he got to a place and he would ship him off the nails. The nails looked him over and said, you got 1 cent out of 1,000 of living. Instead of an infection, your whole body's poison and uremic and all, forget what all. It says you got one chance out of 1,000. So he said, I'll take it. He said, I pray, oh God, you know I love you. And I was all of your service. And he took the chance and he put him to sleep. And he said, when he woke up in the room, he said, there's a light shining in the room. And the glory of God was all around me. And the doctors were astonished.
Amen.
They come in and say, what happened here? Why he said, I feel like going home.
Amen.
That was it. See, he still is hoped up on if anything ever happens to me, I'll go to Brother Robert. If that fails, I'll go to Brother Grant. And yet he loved the Lord Jesus. God had to let everything else fail to lay him down on his bed, even when the doctor said, we can't do nothing. And then when divine love had come to his end, I was very tempted and took his place.
Hallelujah. He'll do it every time. If your motives are right, your alternatives are right. If you have divine love and believe, walk down and die nothing.
When it comes to the God, the end of the road, it comes then, how the grace
takes.
How I have seen it work. How I have noticed it in my own life. And not by just a theology, or not by some kind of somebody else's experience. I'm so glad today that I can talk from a personal experience to know that that is the truth. Why do we fear then? As long as we know the love of Christ is resting divinely in our hearts, that we pass from death unto life, all demons out of hell have got a chance. Even itself. If you continue in that love and faith, it's just like a little baby.
Amen.
You take a little baby out, show you to the little fellow through here. You're just as silly than you were before. What a drunken soldier. I believe it was an instrument out there. Just gets picked up for jail and they put him in the hospital unconscious. But everything had failed and she was hourly. And yet with the love of God and her husband came over, one in there that day, and then sovereign grace was protected. As the divine love and grace is appointed among us that are today. See, it's something that happens.
Amen.
When you get to the end of your road, when you get to where you can't move, there's times God is moving by sovereign grace. The thing that you need, you take a little kid, a little baby, they have a little cough and stagger, and they'll scream and kick and holler. And the first thing you know, they'll hear the birth. And you'll see a mother grab his chest, throw it up in the air, throw his face, run around! There's never been in our medical history one ever died like that. They won't die. He's just having a tantrum. He's trying to get sympathy. He's trying to get some humor. And it's just a temper spell. And after he gets his temper spell to the place he's held his breath, where he can't go no further, then nature steps in. And he relaxes and starts breathing again. All you're kicking up and screaming your face, hollering and going in his face makes him worse. That's the way it is after we travel from church to church, from pillar to post, from healing center to healing center.
Amen.
Officers to Christ over in the dressing room.
Amen. Two young boys on the police force in their early 20s. One of the mothers had been healed the night before, and they both bowed there, and I led them to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Walking out on the platform to speak faith. All of a sudden, a maniac who had hit a preacher down the street that had you broke out of an institution, broke his collarbone, broke his jaw. He had a mania to kill preachers. Running and thought, this is my chance. Up to the platform he comes, weighing about 250 or 260, nearly 6 foot, 10 inches tall, swaying his hands back and forth. He says, you hypocrite, you snake in the grass. There it was. God's service in order. People being healed. Thousands being saved and blessed. Ministers inspired. This great revival just in its beginning, man, to start putting forth across the world. Send up there just me an offering.
Amen.
Amen. We have won tens of thousands of saved and blessed. Sitting there, pastor, a church with 8 or 10 in his congregation, watching down out of the balcony. That maniac runs to the platform to disturb the meeting of the Lord. And he says, you snake in the grass, you hypocrite, you're holding yourself as a servant of God. I'll show you that you're a servant of God. And I'll break every bone of your measly little body. And he runs there and pulls back and says, this, they hit me. I turned around, preacher scattered, everything stood me. Hawked his stick in my face. He said, you snake in the grass, I'll show you how much servant of God you are, you deceiver. I never said one word. I looked up at him. And all at once the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Something or other. What would you think if a man spit your face? Why is there any temper about his wrath? Sure it will. And here comes two cops up. But some two cops that really with the things in their hands to beat the man down to take him off. But I couldn't let him do it. God had brought love in my heart for that moral being. I thought it's not the man. It's the devil that's got him in that position. That man would be a normal man. He wants to love and live. Like every man does, but it's the devil that's got him like that. And a love begins to pour out to that man. And the first thing you know, that man dropped and fell across my feet there when divine love has been rejected. All the grace that's in the second place. It'll do it every time. Sure, not long ago, when I might have told you this before, last year, year before, as it is now, I was mowing my yard there, trying to get my yard mowed down, round, round. I had to stop and take clothes any quicker, somebody cannot. Now my yard is grown up. Before I, in the back, before he hit the front mower, it's grown up. And so one day, I was back in the back with an old mowing machine, a mowing lawn, trying to get a little time mower. And I just out that there was a nest of homeless in the corner there. And I ran that mirror into that, and at the back door, I had my shirt off, no shirt on. I hit that fence with that mowing machine, and with no shirt on. And at the moment time, I was covered out there with homeless. You know what you are, a big nest of homeless, they see you. They just come at the person. Pull out the first experience. And all of a sudden, something in the head. We got it quite down. That horn is still buzzing around. Now this sounds like a kid. This sounds like a child. That God has heard him over in the truth or not. Of whom I stand. Dennis, Jitter, trying to fight his feet and smack that horn. There was some kind of godly love come up over me and I thought, poor little fellows. You got a right to be over there? That's the way God made for you to protect yourself. And I disturbed you. And I'm sorry that I did it. If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't disturb you. I didn't mean to do it, but I said, I'm the servant of the Lord. And his sick children said to me, pray for him. I got to hurry and mow the yard. Now, you little creatures of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, go back to your nest. I'm not bothering you. And what was it? It was at a place where I've been stung today. In the name of God, the submitted heart, the projecting of love came forth, and sovereign grace took it over. That's the devil of harlots.
Hallelujah.
Beast and devil and every harlot
stand from saying amen. I'm not an innocent. I have love. I gave love to my voice. And I spoke to it in my breath. And the Holy Spirit, I have grace.
Carry the opponent right back into their head.
I'm carrying down the road, old Jones. He's out here with you one day. This big old boy out here killed a colored man. That first saw him out here. Killed a colored man, almost killed that one boy the same way they told him out on the farm. I didn't know I was patrolling both the patch of ground and I didn't have it. One day crossing, I thought I'd go over there and pray for some sick person. I want to cross that field, not thinking about that bull being in that field. And I got way out in the middle of the field. What happened? First thing you want to find a little clump of bushes, this big spider crawled through, long horns like that, and he let out a roar. I knew that was that killer. I looked back, a few far from the fence, about 200 yards, he wasn't standing 30, 40 feet from me. There he stood, threw his horns down, let out a great big bell. I didn't have no gun, a little tree to get into. I couldn't go back to the fence, I thought, well, this is the end. You'll bury the earth where you meet your doom, to be fired to death, going to death out here in the field. I stood there with all of a sudden, everybody, dying in the head of the head. But there it was. Something came into my heart, and I thought, I disturbed that poor animal. It's not that poor animal. It's the terror that makes it do it.
Exactly 7 o'clock. The plane will leave at 7:30. Thank you, sir. I'm up.
I got up today, and I'm going, well, I got time maybe to run to a post office box, got some mail to answer last night. I got up, started down the street, going down the street saying, people are almost everywhere whose hearts are all on flame. With the fire that fell on Pentecost, that cleansed and made them clean. Oh, ring out within my heart, oh, boy, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Going down the street with a bunch of letters in my hand, going towards the post office, I felt something strange. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Just like everything you settled down.
Yes.
Oh, what a feeling. Oh, my, isn't this wonderful? God used to sing a little song, let me walk with the heavenly dove, fill my way each day with love. I used to think of that. And this love begins to pour out. Now, entry. We got love, but we need the abundance of love.
Amen.
The overflowing of love. You say, oh, I love sinners. Oh, brother, sister, do you love them well enough to go out and talk to them and woo them to Christ? You know what I mean? You say, I love the Lord. But can you trust him when the doctor shakes his head? Can you trust him when everything else is gone? You need an overflowing baptism of love. Divine love. When it seems like when you pray and your prayer is not answered, do you still love him? Is there something that keeps purging you on? That God finally gave us at the work.
Amen.
It's got you. It's God's nature. Don't change your name yet, but do that. When God seen the sin of this world and seen that man would die without hope and could not be saved, and yet he knows that man would love him, it strained God and it proved his nature.
Amen.
God's nature is love. God is love. And it strained God's nature until he had to provide a way of escape for those who were to escape.
Amen.
And the bear our sins and sickness at Calvary.
Amen.
So goodness. The love of God going out calls for Father grace.
Amen.
And God never said, this is it. If you do this, I'll do this. God, without any conditions, he said, he's trying to have your place instead of his place.
Amen.
And nothing to do with what you think about it. God said it anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. real sick like a virus and vomiting, little thing vomiting all night.
Next day, Jesus said, we'll get some chapter dirt and all, hold out a couple of spoons and give it to us, so thing the song is right up. We got into the pecan, we're going to get out of the hot country starting up. She wanted to see the beautiful mountains. She couldn't do it. There's no 6,000. I look y'all take that. I want to take your picture so we see the mountain. Oh, Daddy, I just feel like I'm dying. And so we give her another chapter dirt, Mom. We all for prayer that morning, said, Lord, have mercy. And all, that didn't do no good. So I got her out of time to get out the fresh air, cold, yellow jacket on, never laying around on the ground. So I got out and she's fine. She said, yes, Daddy. So, and the water just come out of her little mouth. I looked in her eyes, sitting back, and her mouth just was wide around as it could be. I walked there, I looked up towards the top of the dog, looking through the hills, and was coming by up.
Amen.
My heart, come to the Lord. So I want something to get the courage out of me.
Amen.
3 o'clock, said the Lord, put me to sleep. meaning on my knees, that I dreamed a dream, that I saw a man come with a white suit on, wearing a little hat, western hat put on his side of his head. I said, Lord, I was the one of the horse of Elijah. But here comes. So I got right up out of that bed, and I've been standing right here ever since waiting for you. That's where I dressed.
Oh, brother, when divine love is protected,
that mother with her baby, 180 pounds,
but it's still a baby, laying dying in disgraceful. No matter how disgraceful he was,
it was her baby. She loved him. That's a mother's love. No matter how much disgrace he brought, she still loved him.
Amen.
And if you can't forget your baby, no matter what, then how much more can God not forget you? He said your names are engraved on the palm of my hand. A mother may forget her second baby, but never will I forget you. No matter what you've done, how far back you've gone, how much you've got in you, God is going to love you. God loves you. He's got a blood moving out. Don't let it stay here.
She said, I just couldn't do it. And she said, pardon. I dreamed a dream and I saw you coming. And so when I looked down the street and I saw that little light suit, that little hat that was beside her, the spirit said to me, Daddy. She said, won't you come in? I'm on, oh God.
I hope maybe this is what you led me to. This dream I supposed to come. I didn't know. I opened up the gate and had a chain in the power point over it. I don't know where this went around. I opened up the little old door and went in. Brother, I've been in King's palaces. I've been in the richest homes there is in the world. I've been in some of the mountain millionaires worth $28 million. I've walked on the road under the chenille from one side to the other where I can lay down and sleep easy on the very mat. But they left me home. But there I was, not even a rock on the floor. And a little old poster on bed at night. But I'll get in the little bracket, pull up over this bed, and a sign on the door, and God left our home. I knew I was in the presence of a Christian home.
Amen.
I knew I was somewhere where prayer would be. Got no sense on the wall, not no bird with pictures, but the Bible ain't open on the little old marble top paper. Amen.
The big boy man I had a bed covered in paper.
I said, oh my, very Jesus, getting cold.
Death was on the boy. And he kept it, oh, so dark. It's so dark.
And I said, what's he talking about? He said, pardon. Said, he ain't been thinking for a lot of it. Same days now that he's out on the big sea law. Said, he don't know where he's going. And said, I was hurting my heart. Said, he's going away. And he's lost out on the sea. And he don't know where he's going. Said, pardon. I said, Auntie, what's wrong with the boy? She said, it's a venereal disease. The doctor man that said he's dying, nothing more can be done. He said, he's unconscious. He's been lost on the sea for 2 days. He said, will you pray for him? I said, Auntie, my name is Brandon. Did you ever hear me? She said, no, sir, I don't believe I ever did, pardon. I said, well, I'm going to tell you a story. I said, my minister's praying for the sick. He said, it is. I said, yes. And I said, it's told about the plane coming down and everything. He said, is that the truth, Martin? He said, well, I don't even let it down. I said, you're
all for praying. You talk about a prayer, brother. How that old saint to get a hold of God.
And she prayed till the tears rolled out of her eyes. I looked up and he said, well, and I said, now, Eddie, I pray. You know, along with me. I put my hand over on his feet. I said, Heavenly Father, my plane's up down as far as the north. And here, this poor old mother was crying for her baby. And as far as I know, this is what you led me to. I pray that you'll be merciful to me just about that time. I wish this mammy. Oh, mammy.
She raised up, wiped the tears out of her eyes. She said, yes, honey.
Mommy's baby's feeling better. And he had a pat him on the head. He said, Mama, it's getting light in the room.
It's light in the room.
Child, love, divine love, it protects you to the heart of God. Power and grace have entered this place. I think that the poor mother there, holding on with her prayers and God and all this, and then what happened? God in His grace, God in His mercy, would bring a hairpin out of the sky and hold it on the ground.
Amen.
To answer the prayer of a poor, ignorant colored woman. When divine love was rejected, no matter how pillaged you were, how black you were, how jealous you were, there you were. When divine grace is rejected, love a mother left. How she cried. And the boy, a few, about 2 years ago, she and I went down and saw the train going down. I got off and went up there to get me a hamburger. They wanted about 70, 80 cents for it on the train. And on the train, and I could buy it for about 20 cents in the little stand. I got off the train, started down. This is really up there. Hey, what's the matter? I was around and I said, good morning, son. Don't you know me? I said, well, you remember about 2 years ago when you come down and pray for me and my man here? I said, you're the judge of all of them. They said, I'm only healed, but I'm saved now. I'm a Christian.
Oh, with grace.
Yes, sir, brother. I tell you, with grace, when God sees love protected, grace has to take its place. A few weeks ago, perhaps, you remember many of you well. When that old possum laying across that little young girl on here had drowned her baby, and when God gave her a baby and she didn't want to raise him, she wrapped in a blanket and threw it out there and drowned at the river. I said, that is a mother that's wearing a dog, an animal will do it. And if the sovereign love of God will can be protected to an animal, how much more can be protected to a man?
Amen.
Or a woman. A trying. This old mother possum making her way up that lane, you know the story. How she come in and laid there hot set for 24 hours. He not even know nothing about it.
Brother Woodson sat back there and said, Sister Wood, with mercy for the things that Brother Bram, why do you let suffer a poor little baby possum drinking that old milk from her laying in her dead? But why don't you kill him, Brother Bram, or destroy the old mother? She was quite dead. You punch her, you get a wound out of her. And there, she lay there all night. The next day, the little baby there, she come out and she said, Daddy, was that going back to that? He said, what good was that talking, Daddy? He said, I just didn't think about it all night. I just told my baby, come way out in the room. And I said, go on back to bed, honey. See you later. You get up. I said, I'll go in my bedroom. I thought, well, get a little bit there. I thought I had to do something to pardon. I don't know what to do. Then I heard a bad instrument that I wasn't even expecting. Right there, when I was coming down that morning for Brother Hall, when the senior was cancer. There was a stick in the sickness in the meal, I said, in the little dinner room. Oh, the boy, I say, I sent her to you. She's laid like a lady for 24 hours for her dad to be prayed for. And you've never said a word to me about it. And I said, well, I didn't even know it. I said, well, you mean you sent that one? But what's the matter with me? I told you myself. I called myself, told me back, you know. I walked out into the bed, you're still looking through the door. I walked through her old box of bags, you all over everything else. I said, Heavenly Father, if you sent that poor, ignorant possum, if you sent it here, somehow I put in my heart and love for being a mother that I couldn't kill. To kill a baby. And sovereign grace to teach the rest of the people that you ought to know. Have glory here that God, I pray in Christ's name, that you're here. That old possum with her legs so full of maggots and so dragging behind her, swelled twice her size. Stood up on that lady and picked up those babies in her pocket, walked down through there just as long as any beast you ever seen. Well, and then he said to her, I said, thank you, kind sir. The boys out over there happy with her babies today. God, when divine love is protected, sovereign grace takes its place. My brother, sister, there's only got one thing to do in your life. That's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and believe every word that is the truth. And when you come to the end of your world, will you stand for any farther? Then divine Father's grace will be protected. How could I talk to you when the old brothers would give me up, standing on the saddle, poor joy, and the cross?